1 John chapter 1 verse 5, starting to read and then going over into chapter 2 verse 14. And in my Bible it's, I'm reading from the English Standard Version. The subheading is Walking in the Light. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may be sure that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Beloved, I am writing to you no new commandments, but an old commandment that you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Now, I could take all of that in depth, and you'd be out on Wednesday. So, I can't cover all of that, but we'll pick out some of the main points for our consideration. In case you haven't seen me before, you might have picked up the fact that, yes, I am a teacher. I teach this year 10-year-olds and have 28 of the little darlings, I mean little precious ones. And yes, we teach science at school. So I began to think, right, if you were in my class at school, what would you learn about light? Well, we've already had a little bit of a discussion about it, haven't we? Light enables us to see and shows us what's around. Light is the opposite of dark. Light is a form of energy. You would learn that light travels in straight lines, which is why you can't see behind you. The children love that. They imagine what it would be like to see behind them if light travelled in bendy lines and they could see what was going on. But then they think about their perceptions and what they wouldn't see. So you may not be able to see behind you because light travels in straight lines, but you can hear behind you because sound travels in waves. Light is needed for growth in the plant world. And light is a symbol of what is good and right. So if you were in my class at various times in different subjects, you would learn all those sorts of things about light. Now, it's quite interesting, isn't it? Some of those things are pulled out in the passage that we've just read this morning. Interesting how light is synonymous with God in the Bible. The first verse of our passage today tells us that God is light. Not that he exists in light, which he does, or that light proceeds from his presence, which he does, but God is light. And that set my mind thinking, right at the very beginning of creation, there was darkness and void. And God said, let there be
light.
Let there be light. Right at the very beginning. And there was light. And what I find fascinating is that comes even before the sun, which came a little bit later. It's almost like an expression of the very presence of God. Let there be light. There was light, but there was no sun. But God is light. I'm here. I'm speaking. I'm active in creation. We read a little bit later in Psalm 4, verse 6, that the psalmist cries out for God to lift up the light of his face upon him. We have those verses that we often read at Christmas from Isaiah, that those who've walked in darkness shall see a great light. And John himself, when writing his gospel in chapter 1, verse 9, equates this light to Christ, proclaiming that the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. Now, if God is light and Christ is the true light coming into the world, this tells us, as in the words of Jesus, I and the Father are one. And we see the relationship between the Father and the Son there, the expression of the same Godhead. God is light. Well, the title for our meditation today is Walking in the Light. Walking in the Light. Now, this surely can't just mean going outside when the sun is shining. No, it's more than that, isn't it? It's a call for us as Christians to operate and be in and be centered in the very presence of God. The Christian life is often described as a walk. And you can see that in other places in the Bible. Ephesians 5, verse 15 says, look then carefully how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. And I'm sure Paul there is not referring to your physical balance and how you put one foot in front of the other. Colossians 1 verse 10 tells us to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. So walking in the light is not about the physical process of us putting one foot in front of the other, but it's the living of our life. Living of our life should be in the presence and in the light of God. And from the verses that we have here this morning, I'm going to suggest that our reading can be applied into three areas of living that needs to be in the light, in the presence of God. And these three areas are in the areas of sin, the area of obedience, and the area of love. We'll take a little look at each of these as we go through our study. Do you know, one thing that light does is it exposes things, doesn't it? It enables us to see things clearly and effectively. Now, I'm willing, or rather, I'm starting to be willing, that perhaps I'm just starting to approach middle age. Who's laughing? I've always been long-sighted, which is why I wear glasses. But I'm starting to find that my arms are not quite long enough, particularly in the small print on bottles these days as you go into Boots and pick something up. And I find myself moving from the cupboard to read the cooking instructions a little bit more to the kitchen window to shine a little bit more light onto the instructions and the writing. Because light exposes, doesn't it? It enables us to see things clearly for what they are. We had a staff meeting on Wednesday at school, and we were looking at a story and how we teach English, and we were thinking about a child who's seeing shadows in their bedroom and the dressing gown hanging on the back of the bedroom door becomes a person, and there's something walking across the bedroom. And all, I'm sure, I don't know whether you had it, I did when I was a little boy, imagining all sorts of things in your bedroom. Why? Because you don't see clearly. The light isn't there. But once the light is on, it enables us to see things as they really are. Now, why am I saying that? Because the light of the presence of God enables us to see things as we really are. It enables us to see our sin. It enables us to see our sin. Now, sin, in my experience, is not really an accepted word today. It's a concept of wrong that is not accepted. You've probably heard it from other people around. I'm not a sinner. I don't sin. I don't do things wrong. Yet we see in this passage that God's light exposes our sin. Have you ever been in a photograph that's too bright? It exposes all the little blemishes and everything, doesn't it? When we had a look at our wedding photos, our photographer got carried away. There were 3,600. That's the thing with digital photography now. You can take as many as you like, and you don't have to pay for them because they're all on a little chip. But the photographer said to us, "Oh, I just changed the lighting there to cover the blemishes. Or that was a little bit too, I saw a little bit too much of a wrinkle there, so I changed the lighting." But in the light of God's presence, there is no Photoshop to cover up those blemishes of sin. There is no adjusting it. It shows up and it shows us for what we really and truly are. John declares there that God is light. And the Greek word for light behind this, I'm not a Greek scholar or Greek pronunciation. It's spelt P-H-O-S. I don't know whether that's phos. It's got a funny little accent. I don't know. But it means light that is never kindled and therefore never quenched. Light that is never kindled and therefore never quenched. There's no darkness with God. There are no gradations. There is light and there is darkness. God is light, and in him there is no darkness, as we've been reading. Darkness in the Bible is often used as a symbol of sin, corruption, and everything that stands against God's perfection. And we're called in other parts of the Bible to walk in the light, in God's very presence, in his light. Now, if you've got a Bible there, keep your finger in 1 John, but flip to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, starting to read at verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not associate with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. When we walk in the light, our sin is exposed, because light will reveal our darkness. John is very blunt. He says, if we say we have fellowship with God, i.e. we are walking in the light, but in reality we are walking in the darkness, then we are a liar. And he's very blunt with that. We cannot claim to walk with God, to know God, to live in the light of his presence and remain willfully in sin, acting in disobedience. This isn't part of God's character and therefore can't be the character of those who've come to know him. Now, we don't become perfect and not sin. That's dealt with in a moment. But if it is a deliberate living in disobedience to God, then we don't have fellowship with him. And we mustn't fool ourselves into thinking that we can. It's interesting to note here that John states, if we do walk in the light, in the reality of God's presence. I found it quite interesting. He doesn't state that we have fellowship with God, which we do. But he says, we have fellowship with each other. It's interesting that, isn't it? We have fellowship with each other because we find ourselves in the same position. That of forgiven sinners who found that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. When walking in the light, we expose ourselves to the presence of God's light and we experience his forgiveness through the blood of Christ. We become the same as each other who've experienced this, and we enjoy fellowship because we can each testify to the forgiveness of a loving God. We find ourselves in that same position, participating in the same benefits in the gospel. Because we tell the same story, we have fellowship with each other because we walk in the light of God's presence together. God's light shows our sin. But John goes on, so he's not a matter of saying, I don't have sin. He says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. God's light shows up all our wrinkles, spots, and blemishes of character. When I was younger, I thought, well, you're changing things, doesn't it, over time, but you tend to think of sin as the things that you do, the things that you do wrong, almost as if it's skin deep. If I could just stop doing those things, then I wouldn't sin. But now I'm older, walking in God's light for longer, I know sin is much deeper than that. It's not a matter of the things that we do, but it's the attitudes behind things. It's at our very core. The things I do are not necessarily sin. They are the outward of expression of the sin that lives in me. And we see that in the life of the Apostle Paul as he writes in Romans 7. The things that I don't want to do, I do. And the things that I do want to do, I don't. Oh, wretched man that I am. And you can sympathize with Paul as he says that. Who will save me from this body of sin? We have this dilemma within us. We have our old nature and we have a new nature. And they're fighting within us. Now, if that isn't our experience, then I'm going to suggest that perhaps we've not experienced the new nature within us. I can remember being about 14 or 15 years old, and thinking there was something wrong with me. Because I had this tension, this pull that was constantly going on inside of me. This pull that I wanted to go this way and do the things that I knew perhaps I shouldn't do. But this pull was taking me in this direction and telling me not to do it. And I used to sit there thinking, what's wrong with me? And then I heard my pastor preach that that should be your experience as a Christian. Because you've got these two natures within you. I'm sure you've heard the old story, haven't you? That the missionary once described his two natures as two dogs fighting within him. And he was asked which dog wins. And the missionary said simply, whichever one I feed. If we feed our old nature, it will win. If we feed our new nature, it will win. Or perhaps that struggle we're not experiencing because we're in denial about our state before God. And this would be a dangerous place to be in, because if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Walking in the light shows up our sins and our failings. So what do we do about that sin? John goes on, and we read in verse 9, we confess our sin. To confess here means to say the same thing about it as God does. By confessing our sin to God, we are saying to God that we have broken his commandments and that we are in the wrong. And I'm going to suggest that we need to be specific with God about that. I can remember the pastor of the church I went to when I was at university, and he just used to say, call a spade with God. He knows it already. Name your struggle with him. And I found when I started doing that, things became much easier. My relationship with God deepened. Perhaps ask the Lord how he coped with that temptation. We read that he was tempted in every way, yet without sin. Lord, how did you cope with this? What did you do? Give me that strength. But be specific. What causes our break of communion with God? But the joy there in that verse is if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're restored in our standing before God. But if we say we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar. So walking in the light, walking in that presence with God reveals it. We expose our lives to God's presence, and it can be a very painful experience when he reveals our faults and our failings. And I'm really pleased that God doesn't do it all at once, because I'm not sure how I would cope knowing it all at once. But it's a journey. We are walking, and day by day we are being transformed. To know our sin can be forgiven, though, is not a license for us to go on in sin. The start of chapter 2, John writes, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Walking in the light is meant to keep us from sin. Living in the light of his presence and in fellowship with other Christians around us is to encourage us. If we do sin, there is provision. But remember, no one walking in the light is going to say that they do not have sin or they have not sinned, because that old nature is not taken away. But the provision has been made for. And John tells us just a little bit more there. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Just two little words used there, advocate and propitiation. The word advocate was used by the Greek writers to mean a legal advisor, a pleader, one who comes forward as a representative for someone else. And propitiation, meaning the removal of wrath concerned with sin. So Christ is the one then who, when we have sinned, comes forward as the sinner's friend to plead their case. And he is also himself the very means by which we have the removal of God's wrath of sin. Christ is the one who performs these two offices for those who are walking in the light and in his presence. So walking in the light reveals our sin. But walking in the light also has implications for obedience. We go on and we read, John starts talking about, if we come to know him, we keep his commandments. Now I find a little bit that modern Christianity doesn't like the notion of the Christian life as one of keeping commandments and rules. And indeed, that's right to a certain extent. We aren't saved by keeping rules. We don't go to heaven by keeping rules. And the reason for that is we can't keep them. We've just talked about the fact that we are sinners and God's light shows our sinful nature. We can't get to heaven by keeping God's rules. We will never have that standard. We're saved by grace and God forgives our sins. But it doesn't mean, as John implies here, that there aren't commandments to keep. The word of God, the Bible, if we are walking in the light, will have an impact on our lives. I think the difference here is we don't keep rules to earn our salvation. We keep what God has said because we love him. Because we want to please him. Because we want to live in the light of his presence and in fellowship with each other. Now it's interesting, as you read there in chapter 2, John is equally as damning towards those who say they know him but do not keep his commandments as he is towards those who say they walk in the light but do not. He says they're liars. If you say you have fellowship with God but you're not keeping his commandments, you're a liar. John lays it on the line there, harsh language. But if we are walking in the light, in fellowship with God, there should be a difference within us. There is even the call to walk in the same manner as Christ. The commentators seem to think that the he in verse 6 is referring to the Lord Jesus. Now the Lord Jesus said in John 15:10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And if we abide in Christ, we walk in the same way that he did, in the light of his Father's presence. And linked in with this keeping commandments, we've got this whole sort of a new commandment, but it's not a new commandment, it's an old commandment, but it's a new commandment. Love. The call of the new commandment to love one another. Yes, it is the new commandment of Christ, but perhaps now classified as an older commandment because it's something they've always known. They are to love. If we are walking in the light, love will be at the center of our lives. God is love. He loves us, so we should love each other. I find it quite interesting that children take on the characteristics of their parents, don't they? When Beth and Grace was born, she looked like my mom, which was quite unfortunate when I had to undress her and change her nappy. Now she's growing up a little bit, she looks a little bit more like me, poor girl. If I stand in a certain position in the mirror in the bathroom and look up like that, I see my dad. It's very frightening. Because my dad looked at me like that when I was about 6 years old. I'd done something wrong. And he was sat at the table in the kitchen and he looked up at me like that. And he told me off. And when I'm sort of doing things in the mirror and I look up like that, I just see my dad and I'm taken back to being 6 years old. But with the characteristics of our parents, God is light, but God is love. So shouldn't his children be loving? Shouldn't we love? Shouldn't that be part of our character? And if we are walking in the light, then love should be part of our experience. Again, read it. John's language is very forceful. If you say you are in the light and you hate your brother, you are still in darkness. I used to hate passages like this when I was growing up because I never got on with my sister when I was little. I hated her. She's just been down from Scotland now and we're okay now. But I used to read things like this in the Bible. If you hate your brother, and I used to think perhaps it means your sister as well. It doesn't mean that. Does it? It means the people that we are walking in fellowship with. We're not loving each other. We are in darkness because God is love and God is light. We are expected to demonstrate the same qualities as our Father. He loves. He loves unconditionally. He forgives us in Christ. We should forgive and love our brothers and sisters. Is that not the fruit of the Spirit that's developed in our lives as we walk in the light? So walking in the light, it should change our relationship with sin. It should expose sin in our lives, and it should bring us to confession, repentance, and forgiveness. Walking in the light should bring about an obedience to the commands of our Lord and Saviour. Walking in the light should bring about a love for our brothers and sisters as we reflect our Heavenly Father's love. Are we walking in the light in the presence of God? I'm going to change that. Am I walking in the light and in the presence of God? And if I am, what change is that making to me? What change is that making to me? What impact is it having on my life? Have I really opened up my life to the exposure of God's light and God's presence? Sometimes it's a wonderful thing. Sometimes it's a challenging, painful thing. But we have a loving Heavenly Father who wishes to make us more like his dear Son, changing us, moulding us. He is the potter. We are the clay. Let's let him take us and let us become what he would choose to make us. But let's walk in the light in his presence and allow him to have that impact in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. As we've said, sometimes your word is comforting. Sometimes your word is challenging. Whether your word is comforting or whether your word is challenging, may we walk in the light of your presence. Father, we ask that you would here and now change our relationship with sin. Let your light shine in the darkness of our hearts. May walking in the light of your presence bring about an obedience to our Lord and Saviour. May walking in the light bring about a love for our brothers and sisters with whom we are in fellowship as we walk in that light. As we've already said, Lord, you are the potter and we are the clay. Mould us and shape us into the image of your dear Son. Change us, Lord. We invite you here and now as we sit here into our lives. I'm just going to leave it open there just for a moment. Just if there is something that you want to now just bring before the Lord to invite him into a situation, into a part of your life that perhaps you've kept him out of. Perhaps there is entanglement in sin. Perhaps there is disobedience. Perhaps there is a lack of love. Just bring that now into the light of God's presence. Just going to read to you verse 9 of chapter 1 that we've just read. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Father, for your forgiveness. May we bring our lives fully into the light of your presence. Let's sing our final song together, 494, Oh for a Closer Walk with God. A calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine on the road that leads me to the Lamb. Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is that soul refreshing view of Jesus and his word? What peaceful hours I once enjoyed, how sweet their memory still, but they've left an aching void the world can never fill. Return, O holy dove, sweet messenger of rest, I hate the sins that made thee mourn and drove thee from my breast. So shall my walk be close with God, so pure a light shall mark the road that leads me to the Lamb. Let's stand and sing. Thank you.